This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 98. Very close now, Tom. Wow, only a couple episodes till the big 100.
Eh?
Not bad. Not bad. We got a few little ideas and guests up our sleeves that we won't give away at the moment.
Nope, secrets.
There'll be things happening.
Secrets.
That was scary. You've got a lot of news.
So much.
We will be talking about The Good Place.
Yes, Good Place is back.
It's back. So if you haven't known that it's back, it's on Netflix here in Australia and will probably be on stuff elsewhere.
Yeah, but they're pushing it out everywhere as quick as possible.
They want everybody to watch it. Mm. We'll have a quick chat about the Fear the Walking Dead finale.
Yes.
That's later on. And I've got a fun quiz for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I've got... so much stuff that I've watched that's new and returning. So
okay.
We're going to bullet point it through of like, hey, is this worth your time or is this not?
You'd better really focus on what we're saying because we're going to be saying it really quick. Take a deep breath, Tom. It's your turn to get into the news first.
All right. So the big news, of course, this week, which you know I was going to talk about, is that what a surprise. Mm-hmm. Sony and Marvel worked it out and Spider-Man is going to – Tom Holland. We said this weeks ago.
Yeah, we were not worried. And every meme and panic tweet that happened, now they can relax.
So it was very interesting reading the press releases that they put out this week because Feige specifically said something very interesting and jokingly said that Spider-Man is the only superhero with the power to cross universes because this means he can exist in the MCU, or the Marvel ones, and the Sony Spider-Verse.
Mm.
Which makes a lot of sense considering we just saw Into the Spider-Verse and there's that jumping across universes and stuff. But it also means that one of the films for the Spideyverse that they're developing that we weren't quite sure where it fit in was one called Madam Web. And she's a blind telekinetic woman who can kind of read the web of destiny and see how storylines may go or how futures may play out and this sort of stuff. Her power also crosses across reality.
Hmm.
So
she must be confused a lot of the time as to what's real and what's not.
Yep.
Sounds exhausting.
A lot of work looking after her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes a lot more sense as to where that's going to go. Hopefully that means that the Spider-Verse, so the initial Spider-Verse, which we saw in Into the Spider-Verse, then leads to a team called the Web Warriors, which is a team of spider people from across different realities coming together and saving the whole reality.
So I'm assuming they're going to make that the Spider-Verse sequel.
Imagine so.
That would make sense.
But this is how they get Tom Holland in the mix now.
Ah.
And like playing Tom Holland as Spider-Man, this sort of stuff. So yeah, if they can get Tobey Maguire, if they can get J.K. Simmons back, they can get Tobey Maguire back. Even if he just dances badly. I just want him in there.
Just a bad dance, like a dad dance by now?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Well, Spider-Man 3 has some particularly bad dancing. It's not a great film, but it's remembered for some of that bad dancing. He gets infected with the Venom suit, and instead of becoming a murderous guy like Tom Hardy did in Venom, he like gets really into jazz.
Is there any like love for jazz flute? So he starts watching Anchorman a lot.
Oh, and he like goes into a club and kicks other people out of the way so that he can dance seductively on the dance floor and really cockily. It's like, oh, look at his personality changing.
Sounds weird.
Anyway, all of this with Marvel and Sony hammering it out.
Mm-hmm.
The deal originally was that Marvel got like 5% return on the film and then maybe put up 5%. And they came forward and they said, look, we want to put up 25% of the budget and we get 25% of the return. Sony went, we're not down with that idea. And Marvel went, okay, it's 50-50.
And Sony went, hang on a second, Sony that escalated quickly.
Yeah, Sony went, no, and walked away. Yeah. And then Marvel just chilled for a while and then piped up and they're like, hey, everyone's pretty upset. Do you want to just do 25-75? And Sony went, okay, let's do that. So it's just tactics.
Good tactic.
The other thing, which timing-wise, I don't say it's suspicious, but it's interesting that Disney have announced that Feige is going to work on a Star Wars property.
Mm.
We don't know anything about this at all.
He must just have like a spare 25 minutes every second Sunday or something.
Well, that's the funny thing is the whole part, like Sony's stance was Feige's too busy. That's why this isn't progressing any further. But if he's if he's got enough time to work on a Star Wars thing, I don't know if there's been something in the background there of he's gone to Disney and said, you push harder for this and I'll do some Star Wars for you. But he's also been very open with the fact that Star Wars is his first love. That was the thing he loved before comic books and this sort of stuff. So
he may have been asking for this for a long time.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get the final three of the original, the final trilogy of the original saga out of the way before they introduce whatever he does.
That's right. And there have been rumors for a good 2 or 3 years now that when Kathleen Kennedy steps down as head of Lucasfilm, I think she is, that he might step into that role away from Marvel.
Okay.
No thanks. Stay with Marvel. You haven't messed up yet. Once you mess up,
you can go over to Star Wars.
That's right. Okay. But like you're on the hottest streak in history. Don't ruin it, man. Keep it going.
That makes sense.
Yep.
La 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 la. The only show choosing not to keep up with any of the Kardashians. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey, more big news this week was that Stranger Things were getting a fourth season. No big surprise. I mean, we knew it was going to happen because the third one definitely finished on a cliffhanger, but they tweeted from their official Twitter account, "We're not in Hawkins anymore," so they must be off to, without giving any spoilers, get someone.
Did you That'll know?
Do. Yes. Maybe.
That there are potentially dates hidden in that trailer.
I have to have another look.
Someone's noticed that 1230 flashes up an awful lot, which is the day before New Year's Day or New Year's Eve this year.
1230.
Ooh. So, in America, that's 30th of December.
I don't know why they do months first. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But that's interesting because it's always come out around July. Like, it came out July 4th.
Well, they filmed longer for season 3 than they usually do. So
that's true.
There's a lot of rumors going around that they may have actually filmed 3 and 4 back to back in order to keep the kids looking a similar age.
They did look, particularly the boys, they looked a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
You know that gangly stage some boys can get? That's the stage they were
at. Prepubescent stretch.
Yeah. But apart from this, the Duffer brothers have signed a multi-year overall pact with Netflix. So this, of course, includes Stranger Things, but they've signed like film and television overall deal with them.
Okay.
So once the Upside Down stuff is done,
presumably
they've got to make movies and or TV shows. Rumors were 9 figures were given to them. I don't know what those numbers, maybe it was the beginning of the with the numbers in the video, I'm not sure. But, I mean, it makes sense because now you know Netflix don't like to give out figures for how many people watched. But 40.7 million household accounts watched season 4, or at least the launch of it, with 18.2 million households have now finished watching season 3.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's a lot of people.
There are a few supplementary accounts on those household accounts. So.
Yeah.
You can double that, I would imagine, if not more.
And you probably look at maybe, I don't know what they need to share figures, but I imagine about a third of all their viewings have more than a pair of eyeballs looking.
Yeah, once again, how'd you know? You're just playing a guessing game at that point.
Mm.
And now, a word from our sponsor. In these busy hustle-bustle times, people just don't have the luxury to get things done and done well. You start to put everything off. The backlog becomes huge and your business starts to suffer. If you're a small business, there's no need to run yourself ragged attempting to do it all by yourself. You're flat chat, burning the candle at both ends and chasing your own tail. You might not be able to afford to hire someone full-time, but you need help. You want things done not too quickly and not too slowly. They have to be done just right. We here at Goldilocks Services will come in when you don't even know it and get all the tasks done and stay till we get your reaction. For a free visit and quote, use our promo code PORRIDGE today.
So we've been following the Uncharted film.
Yeah.
A bit. Have you heard anything this week?
Of Tom Holland attached. Now, they had lost their director.
That's right. So the new hot rumor for it, and I'm actually really happy with this, is Travis Knight, who most recently directed Bumblebee. And when I say most recently, that was his first live action film.
So what was he doing before then?
So he was the lead animator for Laika. He was the lead animator on Coraline, Box Trolls and Paranorman. So he's got this really solid background in stop motion and using CGI on top of stop motion and this sort of stuff.
Hmm.
So I could see that knowledge coming in really handy for adapting a video game into a film.
Absolutely. And why not try someone who has made a movie of the Bumblebee genre, have it in Uncharted. And so this is like a prequel to the first Uncharted, yes. I believe.
And that's why I'm so excited, because this Bumblebee was a prequel to the other Transformers films
was
40 times better than any of them.
Mm.
It had heart. It felt like an 80s kid action movie.
Mm.
And I'm really down with that if he makes this like an 80s action movie, not a kid's one, but, you know,
give a throwback. Yeah, that sort of Goonies, Spielberg-y, mm-hmm. Indiana Jones feel. It must be set after the flashbacks in the fourth Uncharted.
I have no idea.
I'm just throwing guesses out. There was a lot of stuff with the brothers, of course, played by Nolan North and
Troy Baker. Yeah. But yeah, he also worked on Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he's on a hot streak.
I think we can feel confident, or
I'm happy with that.
Happy, yeah.
That's a pretty big step up for a second film.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like Marvel, Lego, cheese, or English game show?
Cheese, please.
Cheese. Very Brady renovation, which we talked about earlier in the year, that's coming.
That's right. The house that is used as the exterior for the Brady Bunch was bought by HGTV.
Yeah.
Was that it?
And
yeah.
Done up.
That's right.
So the season's over. Apparently did very well.
Awesome.
Not enough that I wrote anything down, but hey, good on them. Did so well they might get a Christmas special out of it. Don't know what with the house.
Very Brady Christmas.
Finished. Exactly. They just want to have another thing in there. But
yeah,
apparently it got enough buzz for them that they're keen to do something similar to that again. So stay tuned whether in a year we might get Married with Children renovation. Or I don't know. What are some other great houses?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Get the Smith family in there.
Roseanne. There's a bunch of houses that could really do. My Name is Earl. Ones that are trashy on screen and renovate them to that trashy level. That would be great. It would
be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'd appreciate that. I would now like to go for English Game Show, thanks.
English Game Show. The BBC have ordered a new game show that is called First and Last. It's hosted by Jason Manford, who you would have seen on plenty of English panel shows. Very, very funny comedian. Quite, I want to say northern, could be wrong.
Yeah, yes, definitely not.
Might be Manchester or somewhere. I don't know, somewhere up there. But it's they're pitching it as Crystal Maze, which is a show from back in the day that I love, mixed with Ninja Warrior. It's on in prime time. The challenges don't come first or last.
What does that mean?
11 contestants start, and each round, whoever comes first or last that round gets eliminated.
Oh.
So you've got to be ordinary.
First one in is the rotten egg. The last one has to eat it.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
So it's a game show about being ordinary.
That's so English, I can't even cope.
Isn't it? Just, I'm terribly sorry. Please, you go first.
No, you go first. I'll sit here and have a cup of tea for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
So that's probably, I think they're filming 6 episodes because they're, I don't know where, but like they do with these shows, they're filming it not in England.
Oh, they'll be somewhere warm.
Oh, it's different insurance. It's an insurance thing. Oh, like that's why, like we did Wipeout here in Australia and stuff. No, sorry, it's a knockout. I think Wipeout, a lot of those shows, they're all filmed over in South America and stuff because they have much different insurance claims and injury rules.
Because like, they knock them about.
Oh, yeah, like. Even some of Takeshi's Castle, I think, was filmed not in Japan.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Such a classic show.
Yeah. So I'm very excited for this show. They're filming it in a format, so they're doing like a season for 8 different countries or something at once, all filmed with different hosts and different speakers, you know, different languages.
Different languages.
And this sort of stuff.
Oh, that's just making the use of time very well.
Oh, look, a lot of them do this. If they're from a big production company and they come up with a winning game formula, they'll film it for six different nations in different formats, and wherever it blows up the most, they then take that version to America and sell that one to them. Very, very clever.
Great idea.
Your other two options were Marvel or Lego?
Lego, please.
All right, Lego. Quick one. There is a Lego Top Gear set coming in 2020. It's going to be Technic, so it'll be aimed at slightly older.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be aiming for about 10 years plus.
Okay.
We don't know what it is. It won't be Hammond, Clarkson, and May. It's not the original Top Gear guys, so it might be the most recent iteration, which is Freddie Flintoff, Paddy McGuinness, and Chris Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Pulled those names.
Not Matt LeBlanc? Is he gone?
No, so he bumped out at the end of last season.
Okay.
Along with the other guy, Rory.
Right.
They both
start fresh.
Shuffled up. Two guys in now. I've been meaning to talk about this for weeks. Freddie Flintoff and Paddy McGuinness are both cheeky chaps. Freddie Flintoff, obviously very famous English cricketer.
And amazing names to go together as well.
They are. And Freddie Flintoff is well known here in Australia because I believe he won... Not Survivor, but what's the one they go in there?
I'm a Celebrity?
That one. I think he won that.
Okay.
And he's the sideline host on Australia's Ninja Warrior.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yes. So he's around a lot.
Yeah.
We don't know what this Top Gear set is. I don't think it's going to be like the Friends or the Big Bang Theory one where we're building a set.
Might be cars.
I think it's going to be a really technical car. Of course, my brain goes, ooh, maybe we'll get a big scale fancy Bugatti or something along those lines. But at the other end of my brain is like, they do those weird challenges where they stitch together a boat and a car or, you know, make a tank that can float on water.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. So maybe it'll be something like that. That could be fun.
That'd be fun. I'm pretty sure I saw photographs of a Honda made out of Lego recently.
Yes.
Might have even been in Australia. It was hanging around being shown. That's fun. All right, so we've got Marvel now.
Yes, so this is a last one. Now, we know all these shows are coming for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And the shows coming on Disney Plus are made by Marvel Entertainment, which is the big movie company. There's also Marvel Television, which was previously part of Marvel Entertainment, but it got split up. Marvel TV is kind of headed by... Well, not headed by, but Ike Perlmutter is involved, who's the guy that we don't like.
Okay. We hate him. Oh, I hate him.
I'm not going to go that strong. A lot of people do.
I'm not going to badmouth, but they're sort of a little annoyed.
Stop being involved in things, you old man, that you don't know with values that don't reflect.
Ike.
Anyway, so there's always been a bit of a division between TV and film, and Feige and Perlmutter really do not like each other. So for the last few years, Marvel TV has done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they head up a lot of the ones that were on Netflix, mm-hmm. and they've done Runaways and things scattered around the place. They've also handled all the animation. Now, with Disney Plus coming, Feige's kind of gone, no, the TV shows are coming back to us now.
Yep.
And so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is wrapping up their last season. They're coming in for that. All the Netflix shows are gone, obviously. Mm. There's two shows that are happening at Hulu live action, which is Ghost Rider and Hellstrom. Ghost Rider, they said this week, cancelled, even before it started production.
Jeez.
They're just not going to go ahead with it. Turns out because Marvel films want to use the character,
okay.
whether it's for film or on Disney Plus.
Okay.
But they've said, no. Nah,
right.
We're taking that one back.
Wow.
So it means that Hellstrom is the only one that's still coming. Hellstrom is Damien Hellstrom. He's the son of Satan. He's a magic dude that helps humanity out. Basically, that show Lucifer.
Yep.
It's that, but with a guy who goes and, you know, does exorcisms and this sort of stuff all the time. Potential for a cool show.
He sounds busy.
It does. So with Disney Plus taking those shows back, it means that there's a very public kind of breakdown between the two sides happening at the moment as we watch who gets divvied up where.
Mm.
Now, all the animation stuff is going to stay with Marvel TV, and I imagine there'll be other stuff that they will pick up on the way, maybe online content.
Okay.
But Feige has come down very firm saying anything on Disney Plus, any of the live action shows will have the same look and feel as any of the films. So each of these TV series that they're doing, which are going to be 6 to 8 episodes, are going to have a budget of roughly 150 to 180 million.
So I can't even fathom that. That's ridiculous.
Potentially, like, if it's 6 episodes, that's like $30 million an episode. That's crazy money. For perspective, the pilot of Lost was $16
million. I wonder how much the Battle of Winterfell cost Game of Thrones.
Well, they had $100 million, I think,
for
across
the whole season,
six
and that was
episodes.
Six. Yeah. Mm.
So anyway, big budget.
Yeah, obviously, so it's around that realm. Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of that budget has to go towards cast because they're paying film actors and they have to pay comparable rates for, mm-hmm. you know, it blows my mind. These are people that they'll pay $10 million or something, or, you know, $5 million for 2.5 months work. And then a lot of promotion and things and this sort of stuff down the track versus a TV series where they might be locked down for 6 to 8 months, which is not something that film actors like doing. Anyway, it's been very interesting watching this sort of breakdown happen and the shows that will get lost in the wayside and this sort of stuff. So I think Cloak and Dagger maybe still have a season to go or something. Runaways has still got a season to go. Whether they get any further than that, I don't know.
Watch this space.
That's it.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I got a good little segue.
What's that?
Gwyneth Paltrow is a Marvel actor who is a movie actress.
She forgets that she does that a
lot. She's also not really into acting anymore but is still doing acting.
Right. Is that because it distracts from her goop?
Yeah, well, funny you should say that. So she said, I married a TV writer. He's fantastic, but he sort of dragged me back into my old job. That's what she calls acting. She said, I wouldn't say I'm passionate about it anymore, but I've had a lot of good luck, a bit of hard work too, led to a really good film career. So what she's talking about is her husband is behind that Netflix show, The Politician.
Yes.
Which she is a character.
Yes.
She said, oh, he had to convince me a little bit. I've got a pretty big day job with Goop.
Mm.
Now, it's not really any more to that story than just that, but she's really one of those people who has got a job that so many people want.
Yeah.
And she's not that bothered. And there are people in every sector who are like that. Probably not like medicine. I would imagine they're very – you wouldn't go through – all those years
studying evil medical school.
Just be like, I'm not that bothered. Mm. But someone who's just not that bothered, having literally a role written for her.
Every time.
Whether she wants it or not.
Every time I think Gwyneth Paltrow is about as annoying as she can get, she finds a new way to surprise me. Maybe that's her superpower.
Maybe it is. Look, enough of Gwyneth. I want to quickly talk about a trailer that I watched.
Oh, good, because I've got some trailers too.
Fantastic. So this one is the BBC adaptation of The War of the Worlds.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that?
Victorian England, get ready to get your back hole
very
punched in.
Very cool. So it looks like it's around World War I-ish?
Mm-hmm. My boy Rafe Spall is up in there. You know, he's the son of Timothy Spall.
I didn't. There was no connection in my head made by that. That's really cool. Mm. So that's going to be, I think, three-parter for BBC One over, obviously, in the UK.
Is that Christmas time?
Yeah. The release date's not mentioned, but it's leaning towards that. But it's a bit confusing because there's another War of Worlds being made that's going to have 8 episodes. It's going to be set in present-day Europe and has Gabrielle Byrne in it.
Okay.
I don't know when that one's being made. I think that's a little – I think that
– That's less exciting for me.
A little further behind. But I really like the premise of War of the Worlds being set in a different era where it would be more difficult to try and overcome the aliens.
I hope we get some cool steampunk weaponry.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Mm, yeah.
Probably won't though.
Nah,
probably just be death and
– and saying, oh, bother.
Oh,
and all
oh
of
my.
That.
So I saw the trailer for The Irishman, which is Martin Scorsese's Netflix film that everyone's losing their brain over, 3 hours long.
I've heard it's supposed to be amazing, far too good for Netflix, so the words that I've sort of heard. What's your take? Okay.
I've heard really good things.
This is the one with Meryl, right? Meryl Streep's in this one, is she?
I don't know about Meryl. No, this is Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. It's just all the angry 70s Italian-Americans together.
Yeah, who have all got an Oscar or two.
That's right. So it looks very mafiosa. He may have been a hitman or something like this for the mob. I don't know.
We'll soon find out, I guess.
So I watched the trailer for a film called Primal, which looks really, really B, maybe even D grade. But, oh boy, I'm in for fun. Let me bring up the synopsis.
Yeah, go on. I love a good synopsis.
When Frank Walsh, Nicolas Cage, a hunter and collector of rare and exotic animals, bags a priceless white jaguar for a zoo, he figures it'll be smooth sailing to a big payday. But the ship bearing Frank's precious cargo has two predators caged in its hold, the cat and a political assassin being extradited to the US. After the assassin breaks free and then frees the Jaguar, Frank feverishly stalks the ship's cramped corridors in hot pursuit of his prey, right up until a thrilling, unpredictable climax. Nicolas Cage as a big game hunter hunting a white Jaguar on a boat.
This has already got cult written all over.
Oh, my goodness. It's just, there's so much in this for me. Who else is in this?
Does it matter?
It does, because Famke Jensen, she had the deadly thighs in GoldenEye.
Yes.
And she was Jean Grey Phoenix in the things. And then it looks like the, I don't know if he's the assassin or if he's just one of the bad guys, but Kevin Durand, who you'd have seen in many, many things.
Yeah.
He's a perpetual bad guy. Just, this film looks trash. I can't wait.
The Meryl Streep one, side note that I was thinking about is for Netflix, is The Laundromat.
Oh,
The
no,
Irishman,
I
The Laundromat.
I can see that across, but that is, I
knew
have not
she was doing
Laundromat.
A Netflix thing, yeah.
And the other trailer I saw, which hit yesterday and I'm very amped for, is The King's Man.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Hmm.
Like Downton Abbey where shit happens.
That's right.
Oh, I love Ralph Fiennes so much.
You've got to call him
so
Ralph, otherwise he shouts at you.
And I don't know, I had to go and check afterwards and make doubly sure that is Reese Ifans as Rasputin.
Oh, really?
Reese Ifans from Snatch and, from Lock, Stock and Two Smoky Barrels and so many great English performances as
stuff.
A madman.
Yeah. He's
just weird. So him as Rasputin has me very, very excited.
Big Kev excited for it.
Yep.
Should we get into some watching?
Can we please?
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Look, very quickly, I went to the theatre.
The theatre.
And I watched the Wharf Review, which is the Sydney Wharf Review.
Okay, sorry, I had to.
You thought I said War Review.
I did.
Mm. So, I did slur a little bit. I apologise. Sydney Theatre Company, they do it each year around this time. And
okay.
It's a satire. They do parodies of songs and they pretend to be political characters or famous people. And look, there was a lot of very funny in it. They're very clever with their impersonations and whatnot. But probably the highlight for the performance I went to was where they started to sing a song from Chicago when they're in the prison or the jail.
Right.
And it was Julian Assange and Cardinal George Pell.
Ooh, topical.
It was pretty funny.
Take that.
Yeah, they had a Trump rap to Hamilton. They had Scott Morrison thing, how good am I? Yeah, all that sort of stuff. But it was very funny.
Good.
And there was one lady in it. She was being Lee Sales and 7:30 Report and every single one of Lee Sales' guests. Very funny. Very funny.
You and I have such different references for comedy. I love it so much. Let's look at this impression and laugh of Lee Sales. Aren't we cultured?
It was very good.
That's awesome.
It was good fun.
Nice. Well done.
It was the first one I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And I would go again.
That sounded convincing.
I don't really have my finger on the pulse as of, I don't know, a month-ish of any news stories. I'm kind of out of that loop at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with it. But I got all the references, so nice. I felt quite clever.
Nice.
What have you been watching?
All right, so we've got so much to get through. I'm going to bullet point very quickly through the shows that have returned.
Go.
For a new season. Okay, Goldbergs came back with season, I want to say 7. It was the vacation episode that they had been promising, driving to Disneyland. It was great.
Did it have like National Lampoon's Vacation vibes?
It started with Holiday Road. And they recreated bits. There was a bit where Dad wasn't paying attention and drove off a sandbank and messed the car up and stuff. Great.
Yep.
Really, really well done. The Goldberg spin-off, Schooled, is back with season 2. More 90s action. This was a Dangerous Minds-themed episode.
Look out.
Yep, during the school holiday break, the main character had watched Dangerous Minds, and so she comes into school determined to be Michelle Pfeiffer.
Amazing.
Very funny. Always Sunny came back for season 14.
Oof. Yeah, that's been on for ages.
Yes, it was a good episode. I don't know how they can match how last season ended with Mac doing his interpretive dance and finally showing his emotions. It seems that they've decided to not address that much for now. It was about the gang getting romantic, and really it was about them using Airbnb to try and lure women into not great situations.
Okay.
It backfires horribly on them, as always.
Right. But due to hilarity ensues, I should say.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Fresh off the boat was back with, I want to say, season 6. Mm. Might have been 5, 6.
It's around there, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not keeping track, and neither is Constance Wu.
She really isn't.
No, she was on screen as much as normal, which surprised me. I thought she might have had a little bit lesser, but no, seemed to be back
contract,
into it.
I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Back into it and all having a bit of fun. South Park is back for another season. I want to say maybe 23. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's a damn lot of seasons.
Hmm.
This one, they now have a new intro for the show. It's not South Park anymore. It's Tegrity Farms, which is where Randy moved the family to last season to grow weed. And the show just doesn't do the throwaway silly episodes anymore. It's all big storytelling. So everything this episode, because of the new season, was just set up. And there were jokes stuff that were paid off. But everything you can tell is so that in 6 weeks they'll come back to this.
Yeah, right.
It was layered and dense. And I'm so happy Randy is a main character at the moment. Because Randy characters are probably – Randy episodes are probably my favorite ones. Stan's dad, he just goes so damn AWOL and reminds me of my father all the time.
Yeah, right.
So starting out the season with a Randy episode and changing the entire show is like, it's still the same music, but it's going down Tegrity Farms, going get myself time,
this
sort of stuff. And Tally, the stone towel, gets to sing.
Aww. Yeah. Moment
friendly
to shine.
Friendly faces everywhere. I don't know what's going on now. So welcome back, South Park. Very happy. And then the other returning show, which I am very excited about, and I know you are too.
What?
Good Place.
Yes.
So it finally hit. And now we talked a few weeks ago that there was that, not spin-off, but like a prelude, called The Selection, the Bad Place guys. That's up on iTunes now. Wouldn't surprise me if that hits Netflix in a day or two.
Cool.
I think they've just pumped it out there. That first episode was great.
It was a solid first episode.
Never knew I wanted to see what secrets a light-designed elephant, baby elephant, could bring me. Stonehenge is a sex thing. Shirley Temple shot JFK.
Yeah, there was a lot going on there, and to unwrap and really take in, but we didn't have time for it, and neither did Janet.
No, oh boy. So what's going on with Janet?
She is not having fun.
Well, that's not Janet, right?
So who do you reckon it is?
Well, I think it's either a neutral Janet that's had something on, or I think it might be bad Janet.
Really?
Well, if you watch at the very end, right, they made a real point of Michael saying, you got to put this guy on the train. Janet, you take care of that. And you watch, she gets on there, but she doesn't come back out in the same shot, and then there's a bit of shiftiness towards the end there. So maybe they've tried to pull one back on the bad place and they're sending good Janet as bad Janet. But I feel like there's something seriously off with Janet all episode.
I'm going to have to watch it again now.
Uh-huh. I watched it twice just to make sure, but she's
there's something up.
Yeah. I think we're going to find out, right? So these new characters that they've introduced, they're going to be very throwaway.
Well, I mean, we've already had one being thrown away.
Well, I think the test never ended.
Mm.
So Chidi was the one that always made the other three get better. They've taken him out of the equation. Eleanor acted selfishly and didn't want to introduce.
Yeah.
So that's her thing. Tahani is already back on her high horse and name dropping. And Jason killed someone, murdered someone. Janet's pissed off at everyone and Michael's fallen apart. The test is still on those six.
Mm.
This is not make new people better. This is still torture the out of them and keep – and I'm convinced of it now.
Yeah.
Everything here seems set up that the test has – pulled out further, so it's now breaking Michael and Janet.
Poor Janet.
Watch this space.
Did you enjoy Derek's beverages?
That onion stabbing through the glass, so good.
Whole heap of little gherkins and then a whole heap of glacé cherries.
So we're going to get a lot more Derek this season, it feels like, which is
looks
great.
Looks like it.
Is he going to be one of the bad guys?
I'm wondering, or if he'll be set up to look like he's one of the bad guys but actually help save the day at the end.
Oh, look, the big story, I think, has got to be that he and Manny have to learn to work together to support Janet.
What about her laughing at him? Fantastic. Absolutely enjoyed that. It's one of those shows that, it's a half-hour show. And to comedy and that sort of thing you usually watch whilst eating or on your phone or something, but you don't with Good Place.
Nope.
You watch the whole thing.
Yep. No distractions. Watched through a few times, watched the background, finally found where the dancing panda was in season one. Felt real good about finding that.
No, don't say.
I'm not going to say it. They don't say it. You've got to go and find it yourself. I'm not telling you where it is, but I know it's there twice.
Okay.
I found it once. I know it's there another time.
And you couldn't say you couldn't find it?
I'm pretty sure I know where it is.
Okay.
But, like, I'm watching on my iPad.
Fair enough. Yeah, you might have to upgrade.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I watched a movie called Money Monsters. Never heard of it before.
Money Monsters.
Julia Roberts and George Clooney from a few years ago. He has this show, it's like a finance, stocks, Wall Street market show, but he sings and dances in it. It's really odd. And she's the director of it. It's a live TV show.
Okay.
What happens when somebody gets in on the set and holds him hostage live on air?
Right.
For reasons that you find out as the movie progresses.
Is George Clooney in this?
Yep.
Okay, I do recall this movie. I don't know if I've watched it, but I remember it coming out. Who's the guy that takes him hostage?
I'd never seen him before.
Oh, it's Jack O'Connell.
What's he in?
So he was on Skins over in the UK.
Was he?
Yeah. Okay, so he wasn't in Skins season one and two. He wasn't the first year round. It was the third and fourth, and he was the unstable, dragged everyone down with him character.
Jack O'Connell. Okay.
Yep.
No, I didn't recognise him. I only watched the first two seasons of Skins.
Oh, okay. Season three and four is my favourite.
Yeah, right.
It has the kid with Asperger's and just like so much good stuff. This guy, Jack O'Connell, for a while there, I was convinced he was going to be the next biggest thing. He was in the 300 sequel.
I mean, that movie that he was in, Money Monsters, I mean, big actors he's up against.
Harry Brown. He was in Harry Brown. Harry Brown. That's my go home and watch this movie.
Okay.
Michael Caine, and it's right, he filmed it in between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Returns, Dark Knight Rises. And it's Michael Caine as an elderly widower. His wife has not long died. And the council estate he lives in has been overrun by murderous hoodlums and junkies and people selling crack and this sort of stuff. And he's a former, like a long, 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 long time retired SAS soldier. And he basically goes to war in the streets. Not like Punisher. It's not like that sort of thing. But it's like he breaks into a crackhead's house and tortures this guy to find out where his boss is. And this was just in very subtle, genial old man ways. It should not work at all. He is terrifying. When I watched Dark Knight Rises, I sat there wanting Alfred to save the fucking day. Because he's just... probably my favourite Michael Caine role of anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Big call. Harry Brown.
Harry Brown, okay.
Sorry, what a tangent.
All right. That's all right. It's good to have a tangent because you've just given us a watching suggestion.
There you go, watching suggestion. Harry Brown, love it. Great soundtrack too.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Can I tell you some of the new shows?
Please.
All right, I'm going to go through them really quick because they're all right. Some of these are all right. But so Sunnyside, the three comedies that I'm going to talk about, we have covered off plenty before. So Sunnyside is the one with Cal Penn.
Yep.
He is a former councilman who's disgraced and then gets employed to help some people try and get their citizenship.
Mm.
It feels a lot like Community.
Okay. That's kind of what you thought it would be like.
So. I enjoyed it. I will be back again.
Nice.
The Asian brother and sister are hilarious. They have way too much money and they're obviously involved in something very illegal.
Okay. Okay, you'll probably find out more as the episodes go on.
I hope so, yeah. But Even if they keep it really mysterious and tangential, I'm happy with that too.
All right.
Yep. Perfect Harmony is the one with Bradley Whitford as the...
Oh, the singing.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a choir coach.
That's right.
His wife passes away. He goes to town to bury her and stuff like that and then gets involved with the choir there. It started off pretty slow and sluggish and I was like... And then by the end, I was like, all right, I'm in for this. This feels like it could go some pretty cool places. It's not nearly as schmaltzy as I first thought. The guy that was Eastman on The Walking Dead, he plays a rival choir coach.
I can see that.
And it's pretty great.
I can see him being a singer.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like a big time, I think he's meant to be like a Brian Houston head of Hillsong type character.
Yeah, right,
okay. Yeah, unsavory.
Mm, different take on Eastman, that's for sure.
Yes. Well, I struggled with Eastman a bit because I still remember this guy. He played Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, right,
in Zodiac.
Okay.
So that's who I always see him as.
Yeah, right.
Even when I saw him in like the Ray Kroc biography about
he's
McDonald's.
He's like, I swear I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
You're like,
nope,
stop killing
don't
people.
Trust him.
I seriously haven't killed anyone in this.
The other one that I watched was The Unicorn, which we had talked about as being one I wasn't too amped for. Walton Goggins, who I got a lot of time for. He's a great actor. Just a bit of a flimsy premise of a show. His wife died a year. I don't know why there's so much widow going on this week.
Yeah, I don't know either. Is that where he does a dating app?
Yes.
Yeah.
He sets up Tinder with his friends and they're like, oh my God, you're a unicorn because, you know, you've only ever slept with the one woman and you're never divorced.
So the show itself and the premise were painful.
The premise was quite painful. The show could get quite good. It's disappointing because it has a lot of people involved that I really like. Okay. Rob Corddry plays one of the best friends. Irma Miller, who was on Ballers, he's another one of the friends. It's a good lineup of people. I just don't care enough to spend more time with those characters.
Okay.
It seems fine and, you know, I'm not the audience it's made for. Every woman on that show fawns over this character and just, oh, he's so dreamy. Why are you so hot? Someone's like, why don't you come home with me? He's like, I'm not ready to do that. I can't do that to my daughters. And they're like, God, you're so hot. Are you right to get home? I bet you drive a Porsche. She's like, oh, I've got a dirty pickup outside. She's like, oh. I thought they were like 3 seconds away from being like, oh, I need to go and get my fresh underwear from my car. It was
pretty full on.
What we talked about a few weeks ago, if this was done in a gender reversal, it would be really icky to watch. So I don't know how they step out of that world. It feels like they've written themselves into a corner a bit. But
getting a couple of seasons out of it, I guess they're probably all right with that.
But the show I was most stoked about, new show that I enjoyed. I had no idea this was coming. It's called Untold Stories of Hip Hop. And it's hosted by a woman, I've forgotten her name, but she's a longtime journalist for Source, XXL, a whole lot of the big hip hop magazines. And she was there at, you know, the height of East vs. West Coast, mid-90s gangster rap. And this show is an hour-long show where she sits down with two different big-name hip-hop stars and just grills them on stories that have never really come to light. Get them to talk through stuff. First two guests she had were Cardi B and Snoop.
Big names.
Yes, not interviewed together, off doing their own thing.
Okay.
I left the show having a lot more respect for Cardi B.
Still don't
love her music, but I really dig her personality and the caricature she's got and this sort of stuff. But, oh, my God, Snoop is just the best person. The interviewer was really nervous talking to him because she was the person who interviewed Snoop back in, I want to say, might have been 94, 95, and got Snoop to talk about the fact that he was cool with Biggie and Puffy and the East Coast guys. And not in a way that was like, I'm turning my back on Tupac and those sorts of guys. But he said those things. Tupac basically never talked to Snoop again. And died a few weeks later.
Like,
was murdered a few weeks later. So she's felt responsible for this for years and brought it up with him. He's like, baby, no, you asked me those questions. I told you how I felt. That was never on you. You should not have felt that for years. He goes, I put my neck out on the line there. I paid for it.
Mm.
I felt guilt for years over that. So it was really interesting hearing him talking about those sorts of moments.
And for them to chat about that connection that they've had.
Yeah.
Like they had that connection separately, but it's obviously affected them both separately all these years.
And, you know, she's interviewed him many, many times since then,
but
it's never been the right opportunity to bring that up. And it was just two people having a really candid, raw conversation. Snoop, a lot of that discussion with Snoop is that he's viewed as the greatest survivor in rap, not just because he reinvents himself constantly and stays relevant, but he's put himself in so many situations where he could have been killed.
Mm.
Hanging out with Suge Knight, going bad. Going to visit Biggie with no guns and no security and all, like, just things that – however, the greatest moment of the show was there was a quick fire truth or false round. And one of the questions to Snoop was, you sold Cameron Diaz weed in high school. And without missing a beat, he's got a blunt in his hands and he takes a drag. He's like, bitch, a snitch. And he's like, yeah, I did it. And they're like, so how did this rumor start? And he goes, she talked about it. She went on a nighttime show, one of the night shows. And someone asked her, I heard you went to school with Snoop. She's like, yeah, he sold me weed. He's like, got to put that rabbit back in the hat, woman. It was just this really candid moment of all that cool facade fell away and he was remembering being 15-year-old selling weed to the hot girl at school. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just took him back and made him giggle.
That's amazing.
It was great.
He's a very endearing person.
It was a wonderful show. I'm really looking forward to more. I highly doubt they'll have anyone on that will be as charismatic as Snoop. But they're going to have people that have got different cool stories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, untold stories of hip-hop.
Be able to see people in different light.
Yeah.
Like Cardi B.
Yeah. And just, you know, they talked with some of the other rappers that helped discover Cardi B. And one of them was like, yeah, man, this guy called me up. He's like, you got to check out this ratchet bitch because every ratchet bitch in the world is going to buy this ratchet bitch's album. That's a great way to describe Cardi B.
Very descriptive. Very descriptive.
Mm.
Should we get into Fear?
Can we?
So this was the season finale of Fear, a season that you and I were really happy about for the first maybe four or five episodes. We were really interested in the different vibe and approach it was taking.
Yep.
But I think separately we both assumed that they were going to get this hope and positivity to then knock it down and have some really dramatic and exciting things happen.
Nah.
That just didn't happen.
Nah, everyone goes off to different summer camps. And we get a lot of split up episodes and finding each other next year again.
Yeah, which is a great Walking Dead premise and has been on both shows.
I'm sorry. I have to ask the most unrealistic thing of the entire episode.
I really hope it's the same one I'm going to ask.
How did they find a rabbi just before it was time to get married and yet he somehow didn't die at the end of the episode? Because there's no purpose for him to exist no more.
He doesn't need to exist. My question was going to be, how did the doctor that didn't speak or even say that he was a doctor figure out that as they were driving to one of the camps that Grace was pregnant?
I just had a lot of inappropriate answers come to mind that I'm not going to vocalize.
Like, she was still there with Morgan. It was night when everybody left. It was still night when it was just her and Morgan. Ginny, I think her name is. Yeah.
Yeah. Virginia.
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 Virginia. Virginia. She gets the call to say, she's like, oh, Grace is pregnant.
Mm.
It's like, how do you know? They still would have been in the car.
Do you think they've just got pregnancy tests and the doctor made a piss on in the car?
Like, it's just so messy. And what was the rush? And also, how do you think she had radiation poisoning versus being pregnant? It's just all a bit odd.
Yeah. I've stopped trying to answer the questions for this show because
so are the showrunners. They've stopped asking. So
I want those shows runners gone, and somehow they're booked for another season.
Yeah, they are. Like, so Hollywood Reporter asked the two of them some questions, and the very last question that they were asked was shot in the dark theory time. Madison Clark is alive and she's going to save Morgan from his current predicament. Am I hot or cold? And their answer was, that's a fascinating theory and we'll just have to wait for season 6 to see how things go.
So no, Madison's dead, right? Morgan's dead. They didn't have the guts to show it on screen. Just kill him. And the show will be better for it because he came in and infected it with this stupid, hopeful, do-gooder nonsense that Alicia and Strand and Daniel and all these great characters have been tarnished by. And, like, just fuck off with that. Let them go back to what they were being. This was the show of the people that were going to go bad. Remember how we followed that for years, that these were the people that were turning into the villains.
So do you think that's going to happen with Strand?
Oh, not with these people.
Because he said, I think to Alicia, we're going to get them from the inside.
He's, I don't know.
Maybe he just can't be bothered anymore.
Or he'll just be corrupted again by good things. And
yeah, maybe. Anyway,
who knows? Who knows? Anyway.
Next week we'll have The Walking Dead proper comeback. Jesus. So much Walking Dead.
Never ends. So when that third show comes, I think we were talking about this earlier, when that third show comes, it's potentially going to be something Walking Dead 43 to 48 weeks a year.
It's a lot.
So there will be some weeks, friends, I'm telling you now.
Where we can't be bothered.
Where we can't be bothered. I'm going to put my hand up and go, no.
If there's other stuff to talk about, that's what we'll do.
And we'll hold off and we'll do two episodes in a fortnight or something. But just... you got to respect the fact. We're coming up on 100 episodes, right? And we did a Walking Dead podcast for several years before then. We have been marching longer than the undead with this shit.
That's right.
So if we grumble about particular episodes or short seasons, we're sorry. It's how we feel.
It's because of that.
And we feel we're in a good position to be able to look at this stuff quite impartially and with a long time closeness to it.
We also feel that you probably feel around the same way.
Yeah, I reckon so. Mm. Pipe up if you don't.
Exactly. Quiz time.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. I need a moment both to adjust myself to the front third of my chair because that's all I need and have a little sippy sip on the old crunk juice.
Crunk juice.
Mm-hmm. It's just some syrup.
Okay. Quiz time. Mm. My bad TV show synopsis.
Okay, so this is synopsis you've come up with, and I've got to try and interpret them.
So they're all TV shows?
Yes.
No particular genre.
Okay, love it.
A group of kids take time out of their games to teach a girl who's only a number English in their basement. I can read it again.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, nice one.
The number.
The number.
Got me.
You know, I didn't have the number in there and I thought, oh, it might be a bit too vague. So I stuck the number reference in there, so I'm glad I did.
Nice.
A teenager lives with her aunts and their black cat can talk.
Sabrina. I'm guessing the original.
Of course the original. Yeah.
Yeah, Salem the Cat.
Amazing puppet that would sit on the kitchen bench.
Salem, Sabrina the non-streaming teenage witch. That's what we'll call that one.
I like that. Okay. Dad of six reckons being drunk is the best life choice. Definitely doesn't know anything about college admissions bribery. I've thrown a little bit of real life
Shameless.
In there.
Because he's not even
Felicity
Hoffman.
Yeah.
She's done the dirty.
She's...
No, I don't think anyone would ever accuse William H. Macy of doing anything bad other than choosing to be in Jurassic Park 3. Take that.
You showed him. Ugh. All right. People living in a share house with a landlord who watches them full time.
Big Brother.
Yeah, Big Brother.
That's good. My first thought was like, hey, is that Alexi in Young Ones?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I always wondered who he was.
That's where my brain
he's
went.
He's a landlord. That makes sense that he would have been.
Was he? I don't know, because he was different. No, he was different every episode, wasn't he?
Yeah, potentially. But he'd show up and do a little bit of his own sketch comedy.
Oh, yeah,
skit
he'd come
comedy
in and be like, hey, here is new routine I've worked. Yeah.
Alexi Sales. Mm. A father sits his kids down to tell them a really long-winded story for 9 seasons.
Oh, How I Met Your Mother. So nice.
All right, this is the last one, and if you don't get this one, I'm going to cry.
Okay.
A holiday resort for people who love RPGs. That's role-playing games for people playing at home.
Oh, Westworld.
That took
me a minute because I was back at Fantasy Island.
Oh.
My brain's going, the plane
the
bus.
The plane. Yeah, no, Westworld.
Nice.
Coming out next year, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. Man, that Aaron, he's going to have a big year, isn't he?
Oh, he's going to be very busy.
Between having a movie and Westworld 3.
Whew. Two things in 1 year.
Mm.
Calm it down, buddy. Well, that's the end of this season, I was going to say. That's the end of this episode.
We made it.
We did it.
Hooray.
If you have any ideas for the quiz or any questions for listener question time, you can send the email question or quiz to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you've got any thoughts about The Good Place, I'd love to hear them.
Mm.
And if you've got any thoughts about The Unicorn, put them in my filing cabinet known as the bin.
Okay, pop it in there immediately. Tom, thank you very much.